Yeah, well, maybe you can help me. I'm looking for a friend of mine. Clarence Worley from Detroit. He's traveling with a real pretty girl named Alabama.
Oh, yeah, man, I know him. They've been by here.
You seen them?
Mm-hmm.
They staying here?
No, they're staying at the Safari Motel Inn. Safari Motel.
Safari Motel?
Yep.
How do you know that? I mean, have you been over there?
No. Well, they were here, and they said that they were going to go there. And they went.
Yeah?
Yeah, Safari Motel.
Safari Motel.
Uh-huh. Hey, you want to watch some TV or something? They might be back here.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, you take care. I might be back.
Yeah. Okay, be cool. Condescend me, man. I'll fucking kill you, man.
Welcome to Flick Flops Cult Classics, the podcast where we dive feet first into the wild and wonderful world of films that have earned cult status. Each episode, we'll flip the script on cinema's most intriguing and unconventional films, exploring the hidden gems and eccentric creations that have captured the hearts of dedicated fans. From the bizarre to the brilliant, these are the movies that may have flopped at the box office, but soared in the cult scene. So grab your popcorn and get ready to challenge your movie taste. This is Flick Flops Cult Classics. This week, we experience true romance again with the 1993 romantic crime film directed by Tony Scott and written by Quentin Tarantino. In the movie, Christian Slater plays Clarence Worley, an Elvis-obsessed kung fu film fan who meets Patricia Arquette's Alabama Whitman in a Detroit theater. After the two get hitched, Clarence is convinced by his inner Elvis to kill Alabama's former manager, a.k.a. her pimp, and ends up with a suitcase full of stolen cocaine, and things go off the rails from there. Easy for me to say. Are we card-carrying compatriots of the cult classic? Find out on this episode of Flick Flops Cult Classics.
You did, Gary. I was rooting for you, buddy. I was.
I just need somebody in my corner.
I told you should have did it as walking. It would have been so much better.
It would have been horrible, and people would have been like, that's the worst Christopher Walken I've ever heard.
The worst Clinton and the worst Christopher Walken I've ever heard.
All I would want to do is just say the Foo Fighters, you know, all the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
the Foo Fighters.
You know, I wish I could do a great walk-in impersonation. I wish I could do a walk-in impersonation.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of that, and behind you, you've got some of the pictures. Real quick, I will mention a lot of the actors that are in this movie because there's quite a cast.
That's the first thing Teresa, should we watch this together? And she was like, man, look at this cast. I was like,
yeah, there's a lot of people in this. You've got, as I said, Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette are the main leads. But then you've got Dennis Hopper. You did that right. Val Kilmer, do that one.
Thank you very much.
Gary Oldman. Brad Pitt, not in there. Christopher Walken.
Walken.
Condescend me. Bronson Pinchot.
Yes.
Which I thought was funny. Samuel L. Jackson. For those who know, Saul Rubinek. Yes. Chris Penn.
Yes.
Tom Sizemore. James Gandolfini and Michael Rapaport.
Yes. I mean, some of these became staples for Tarantino, which.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Reservoir Dogs here in a moment. And, you've got. Well, not a third of the cast or something.
Yes, pretty much.
Anyway, so.
Well, let's dive into this, Gary. Let me get real quick what I got numbers wise, and then we can discuss this film. A True Romance 1993. Rotten Tomatoes has this thing sitting with the critics at 93, and the audience has this at 93. And man, I think that's a pretty fair assessment of this film.
Yeah.
Budget was $12.5 million. Box office, they took home a whopping $12.6 million.
Yeah.
So technically they made their money back, but wow. This thing was written by the one, the only, the great Quentin Tarantino. My homage to Mr. Tarantino, Mr. Pink. Why do I got you, Mr. Pink? Don't finish the line. We all know why. Tarantino, who we all know, and I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of Tarantino. I don't know where you stand. I think you're a fan, but I mean, this guy, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, you know, the Kill Bill films. He also wrote, which I'd forgotten, he wrote Natural Born Killers.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Tarantino is just a filmmaking machine. to Django Unchained, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I mean, the guy's just fantastic. Directed by Tony Scott. Now, this guy has got a pedigree of films.
Yes, he does.
I've only listed a few, but his you go to his IMDb and just look at what he's done. I mean, you all love something this guy has done. Top Gun, which Brent Walter still has never seen. Days of...
He's been called out.
I'm saying it, Brent. I know you're not watching, so I don't care. Days of Thunder, The Last Boy Scout, Crimson Tide, Enemy of the State. I mean, that's just what, five films in his list of films that the man's done. This guy he knows how to make a film.
Yeah.
And of course, I think he did a really good job with True Romance. That's all I got for the info part of this, Gary. If you want to dive into the more about the cast stuff, let's go. Let's talk about this film.
Well, first of all, I will say, going to watch this movie again, I watched this not intending that we were going to be doing flip-flops on it. And so I didn't really take any notes when I watched it again, but I just got in this weird mood the one night. I'm flipping through old movies and I'm like, what do I feel like watching? I was like, man, I don't feel like I've seen that for a very long time. And I put it on thinking, I think I remember all the notes of this movie, but we'll see. And man, I loved the movie all over again. I loved it when it came out. I felt like at the time, I know Reservoir Dogs was already out the year before, but I felt like it was almost like, to me, Quentin Tarantino kind of brings like excitement. He brought excitement back to the movies again, like a fresh voice, I guess would be the way I describe it. He came at it from a real movie fan perspective. So you could really kind of feel the love of different stuff in the movies. The character Clarence is kind of based a little bit on Tarantino himself. Absolutely. I think he's mentioned. And so the guy's Elvis obsessed. He loves Kung Fu films, and you get all these kind of poppy cultural things that kind of come into the characters in this that I really feel like, you know, it just watching it again, it reminded me of how fresh I felt like the Tarantino movies felt, but yet still with familiarity, but just in the new, I don't know, they're fun, you know? And when this one came out, I remember just thinking, man, that was a fun movie. You didn't know it was going to happen. You knew it was going to be off the rails and kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Especially with the history of Reservoir Dogs coming out the year before. You've got that movie that goes really nuts. But
it goes south quickly. Well, real quick, Gary, explain how we got to Reservoir Dogs from this. I mean,
well, that's what was interesting. So I was trying to remember when watching it, I was like, was this his actual first script? Because I couldn't remember the history. So I went to kind of look it up to see, you know, is this the first script he had written? Realizing that the movie came out after Reservoir Dogs, it's like, well, I don't know, but if it's necessarily his first script. However, he did end up frustrated with the process. He wanted to direct this movie originally, and what he ended up doing is actually selling the script for this movie and taking that money to fund Reservoir Dogs, and then turns around and gets Reservoir Dogs out before this movie comes out. So I don't know the history of all that kind of back and forth, the movie industry side of things, but just an interesting story that's how he got the other movie funded. So.
Well, absolutely. And we could probably, and maybe we will do an entire season or whatever you want to call it on Tarantino. I mean, like you, yeah. I'm a fan of Tarantino, and he, and we don't need to make this a Tarantino love fest, but just quickly, the same way thing you said is he ushered in a new era of filmmaking.
Yeah.
You know, he was the guy who was the spear, tip of the spear of those independent filmmakers that Miramax had become known for, and it was Tarantino, then Robert Rodriguez, and then of course one of our favorites, Kevin Smith, were all in this group of young, fresh voices. I mean, no one was writing films like this, and that's, I think, we felt we could connect with. I mean, we kind of are like this character ourselves. We're like Clarence. I mean, he worked in a comic book shop. I would have loved to have worked in a comic book shop, and we were film buffs, and you know, I think it's what Tarantino is so great at, is he speaks to, in an odd way. I mean, because I don't want to go kill anybody and then steal a briefcase of cocaine. I'm not saying I wouldn't or haven't. I won't deny or confirm anything. But what I'm saying is it his films, you never know where they're going to go.
Right.
And yeah. his turns are sharp. Like, you know, you're going to get whiplash sometimes with his films or the bends. I mean, he's just going to take you places quickly and you're not going to be upset. You're like, oh, I kind of like where it's going now. I was here. Now I'm over here and I'm okay with it. And of course, I think you and I, we've never really professed it, but we both are, I think, are big fans of Christian Slater.
Oh yeah.
I had forgotten this film. I only saw it back when it came out and I didn't really remember much of it. And you mentioned it. I was like, oh, I want to watch this again. As we've said in many of the films we've done before, I didn't take notes because I put my notepad down and I sat and I was like, I want to experience this film like it's new. And I kind of did because I just didn't remember any of it.
Yeah.
And it was awesome to just sit back and take this film in again. Another good friend of ours, I was talking to Bob Horton, who said that this is one of his favorite films. And we were talking about it. So it was great. And Teresa watched it with me and she's not a Tarantino fan. She has finally sat through a Tarantino film, being this one, not a film of his, but a written film. And at first, her initial response to this film, because I told her we're going to do it, and she was like, I'm going to give it the thumbs down. She gave it the raspberry.
Yeah.
But as I was coming down here, she goes, you know, I want to revise my critique of the film. I said, you want to come on camera? She said, absolutely not. I said, all right, tell me what you got. And she said that, she goes, I don't think the film was bad. She hits a real visceral reaction to women being physically abused. It bothers her.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in this movie that it's violent as all get out. Mm-hmm. And I'll agree with what she said. It really, I don't think, was necessary in the film. In the scene, she said, that's not realistic. Now, not that the film is anything realistic. She said, but if a woman had walked into a hotel room and there was a stranger sitting there holding a shotgun, she would have turned him back the fuck out. She wouldn't have walked in and played it off as Patricia Arquette did. Now, again, it's the film, but she's like, that part of me just didn't sit well. And the violence, she goes, it turned my stomach a little bit.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Cigarette?
No. That's a very nice outfit.
This? I got this in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Alabama, where's our Coke and where's Clarence? When's he coming back?
I'm sorry, I think you're in the wrong room. My name is Sadie. We don't have any Coke, but there's a Pepsi machine down the hall. I don't know anybody named Clarence, but perhaps my husband.
But you said, but in thinking about it, it was a really good film. She goes, it was well done, and I did enjoy it to a degree. But that scene, and I said, you know, I totally get that. So,
well, she has a thing with violence in general, so I can understand her not really wanting to watch a Tarantino film because it is ultra violent. Almost every movie he does is ultra violent. Yeah.
But I told you, she actually walked out of Pulp Fiction in the theater. She walked
right out. You know what? An interesting note about thinking about Pulp Fiction. I had read that when he originally wrote the script, he wrote this out of order. It wasn't a linear story. So he wrote it similar to the idea of how Pulp Fiction plays out. And that was something that Tony Scott did, was take the movie and make it more of a linear film.
Yeah.
And he also changed the ending. I think he gave it more of a happy ending or whatever. And Tarantino at first did not like that, but then came back and said that he thinks that Tony Scott did a good job with it and that probably was the better ending. So,
I mean, I completely agree. And I think he got great acting out of all the actors. I mean, I truly I was in love with this film.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of the scene with Gandolfini and Arquette that you were talking about in the hotel room, that and the shootout scene at the ending were both scenes that were edited down so that they could get it to an R rating. So I can't imagine what was left. I have not ever watched like a director's
right
cut or anything.
I don't know. We should.
I don't know if it exists, but or listen to the commentary tracks or anything, this would be one that I would be interested to go back and hear more about it. I claim ignorance on all the real background details of this movie. I just saw the movie and enjoyed it, and looked up a few things today. But that would be one that I'm, I am interested in the beginnings of where Tarantino came from and the writing and all that, and things that he kind of brought to this one. So I'd be interesting to watch, and hear the commentary too. But that's really all my notes I have on it. I really enjoyed it too. Tara may have caught part of this because she was sitting down here when I was watching it, but it was too late for her. She couldn't stay up and watch it. I think she probably would have felt the same about the hotel scene as Teresa. Women just don't, I don't think they, ultra violent.
I mean, it goes a little far. Like, we got it.
Yeah.
We got it. Like, okay, now I'm like, hey, knock it off.
Edited, knowing that it's edited, you're like, man, how much more uncomfortable was it? Could it have been?
Yeah.
It was pretty uncomfortable. I was a little shocked seeing it too, having not remembered really.
Did you also read, Gary, that scene got Gandolfini the audition for Tony Soprano?
No, I didn't know that.
It was part of the reason they brought him in. They looked at him and they're casting this legendary, phenomenal TV show, The Sopranos. And whoever was the casting director saw this, and she's like, man, that guy there could be Tony Soprano. And, if you're a fan of The Sopranos, you could see it. I just thought it was Tony Soprano. I was like, oh, that's probably him, how he got it started.
So convincing. You don't know, was Gandolfini actually part of the... Yeah, anyway.
Condescend me, motherfucker.
Brad Pitt was funny in this. Hey, Gary Oldman. Jeez, old Pete's, man. That guy he amazes me every time I see him in a movie, because he is not the same person. He literally takes over a role and looks like chameleon.
Well, and let's not glaze over this scene here.
Oh yeah.
With Hopper, I mean, his speech about where the Sicilians come from, I was like,
yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, another uncomfortable scene.
Man, and then Walken is just I mean again, you want to watch a masterclass in acting and some dialogue. I'll say almost any Tarantino film is a masterclass in dialogue. But the acting he gets out of the scenes that these guys get, Tony Scott got out of these guys, it's phenomenal. It's really, this film, I think people overlook it and they forget it, but you really, this should be on your list of films to watch, especially if you're any fan of Tarantino or any of these actors. Oh, I got a critics thing too, Gary. Hang on.
Oh, I didn't get one. I will say before you read that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Initially, I was thinking that we were doing this as a rewind, retro rewind. And I realized when I started reading a little bit more about it and found out how much money it didn't really make. It made a little tiny bit, but not much. Yeah. I realize it easily falls into the cult classic category for sure. So
yeah, absolutely.
I asked you what you thought, and you were like, cult classic. Definitely. So
so I got a review, Gary. The gentleman's name is Richard Harrington. He's from the Washington Post. He is a top critic on Rotten Tomatoes, and I enjoyed what he said. Now he gave it's rotten in his eyes, but his review I think is interesting. You'll appreciate it. It says here, quote, again, Richard Harrington, quote, "The movie may be stylistically visceral, but it's aesthetically corrupt. It might as well have been called Pump Up the Violence." And I was like, dude, you win for that one, because those who do not know, our boy Christian Slater was in a film that Gary and I really enjoyed called Pump Up the Volume. And again, I think it's
may make an appearance on here.
I hope it does. I really do. Although it's odd, I have watched it within the past 2 years.
Me too. That's why I was like, let's wait a little bit.
Again, we talk about, I think Christian Slater's an actor who, man, he was on the cusp of being part of that Brat Pack. He was really good. And some of the films he chose, I think, were really awesome, but he just never quite got to that Brat Pack, right? Rob Lowe, those kids. But he was always right there. in the same orbit as these guys. And but I think I think he's like a younger Jack Nicholson. You know, I thought he was that kind of an actor. So I'm a huge fan of Christian Slater. So I will always and pump up the volume because we're always waiting on the Deev, Gary.
Waiting on the Deev. That's hilarious. Let me wrap this up by saying that since we are doing cult classics, the question is, are you a member of the cult or not a member of the cult? I'll go ahead and give you mine. I am going to say that. Shouldn't be a surprise, man. I love this movie. Definitely count me in. I would watch this movie again for sure. And I'm surprised I haven't seen it more, to be honest with you, after watching it again. So
absolutely, because I've seen, again, Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction and all the other films countless times, but this one always eluded me.
Yeah. So,
this might surprise you, Gary, this is where I'm at. I'm just kidding. I love this movie.
I was like, oh, really?
Oh, he's not a member after all that praise?
Ooh.
Ooh, do tell. This was a pure joy for me to sit and watch again. I just was like, God, I forgot. Because again, I only saw it when it came out, and it just never made it back to my rotation of films. So
yeah.
I'm glad you watched it. I'm glad I sat and watched it. You know, I'm done washing Tarantino's balls at this point. You can edit that. We'll take that out post.
Gosh, I wish I could have just ended it right there. Freeze frame. that's it. That's it for this episode of Cult Classics. Like, comment, subscribe, and let us know in the comments. Are you as big a fan of True Romance as we are? Are you members of the cult? And if not, tell us why, because we're really curious. Maybe it's the ultra violence of Tarantino films that you dislike, or you got some problem with Tony Scott. I don't know. Just let us know. We want to know.
Yeah. Well, that'd be Brent. Yeah.
Brent. Top Brent, bro.
I'll bet money. The foot is going down. I'll bet money Brent has not seen this film.
Nope.
Brent Walter, you are obligated to watch the film, or tell us, get in the comments and tell us. I'm going to bet you money he has not watched this film. And if you ask him why, he'll say it's overrated.
It's overrated.
Ben, if you don't like this film, jump on and tell us why, and we'll tell you that you're wrong. Simple as that. It's great.
There you have it. There you have it.
The foot is down, Gary. Foot is down.
The foot is going down.
Going down.
And we're out. As we wrap up today's deep dive into True Romance, a film that continues to captivate and intrigue with its vivid storytelling and unforgettable characters, we recognize the tremendous talent behind the camera, the late Tony Scott. Throughout this episode, we've focused on celebrating the film's impact, its artistic merits, and the ensemble cast's exceptional performances. We made a conscious decision not to delve into the personal lives or the tragic passing of Tony Scott and some remarkable members of our cast, out of respect for their families and to keep our discussion centered on the film's enduring legacy. Tony Scott's visionary direction, along with the unforgettable performances by an ensemble cast, some of whom have sadly left us, has left an indelible mark on cinema. Their work continues to inspire filmmakers and audiences alike. We remember them for their incredible contributions to the world of film and honor their memories through ongoing appreciation of their work. Thank you for joining us on this journey through True Romance. Until next time, keep exploring those cult classics that challenge, entertain, and inspire.
This has been a Touch of Madness production, brought to you by the creative minds at Tommy Twins Media.